recording.
You're listening to
Source News
on 4EB Community Radio, presented by Griffith University students.
Welcome to today's show. We're your hosts, Nadia Lord
and Sky Pritchard.
We have a great one for you all today, looking at all things younger adults and what they deal with on a daily basis, from changing the meaning of success and how younger Australians are choosing memories over mortgages, to advocating for our mental health. We look at younger adults shying away from having kids, the impact of increased screen time on mental health, and finishing off the show slowing down with World Relaxation Day. But first, let's go to Sky with some news and weather.
Thanks, Nadia. A former Gold Coast City Councillor, Cameron Caldwell, is heading to Canberra after winning the federal seat for Fadden, for the Liberal National Party. This comes after former Turnbull and Morrison Government Minister, Stuart Robert, stood down from position as the local member for Fadden. A 29-year-old male has survived a near-death jump from a Gold Coast high-rise. This drastic action came hours after he was suspected of breaking into a local Surfers Paradise car yard and snatching a lockbox filled with keys. Police eventually arrested the suspect while negotiations lasted more than an hour before he was led into an ambulance. And some uplifting news, Gold Coast Mayor Tom Tate has offered to host the 2026 Commonwealth Games. After Victorian Premier Dan Andrews announced the state could not go ahead with the plan due to a debt crisis. Having successfully already hosted the 2018 Commonwealth Games, Tate says the Gold Coast is more than ready for the challenge. But that's it for news. Here's Nadia with the weather.
It's looking like a good week ahead for Gold Coast and Brisbane. Sunny conditions for both. However, with lows of 9 degrees at the start of the week for the Gold Coast and tops of 24. Towards the end of the week, a little drizzle predicted coming into the weekend for Brisbane locals. But overall, it's looking like a pretty decent week ahead. Now, let's delve into the world of our younger adults and explore what's really going on.
We've all been feeling the cost of living going up lately, especially for those who have the stresses of a mortgage. Some young Australians are choosing to swap those stresses of debt and live a life on the road. Pack your four-wheel drive and buckle up. Nadia Lord with the story.
It's a 2001 HZJ 78 Troopy.
That's James, giving me the full tour of his Toyota Land Cruiser Troopy, his humble abode, but on wheels.
Watch movies on.
Carly and James are a young couple that decided to ditch the life of debt and head off on a trip around Australia. That trip, well, it started in 2020. Here we are in 2023 and they're still on that same trip, living out their life on the other side of the country, chasing sun, adventure and a lifetime of memories.
Or just travel in general, but then COVID came and we had done one lockdown, and after that we just decided let's run away from being in lockdown. So we started doing the East Coast and
just kept going, and we haven't stopped, we're still going.
And why wouldn't you choose this life? In a world where interest rates are climbing, housing prices are soaring and inflation is on the rise, these young Australians are finding it increasingly challenging to enter the housing market.
To even think about buying something near then, how long we'd have to be inside a job to have to even get a loan close to that and then make repayments on that for however long, it's just getting ridiculous. We just hope the housing market crashes.
For those on the road, the cost of living offers the opportunity to enjoy life to the fullest without restrictions of debt or a mortgage.
Yeah, like fuel prices go up and caravan park prices go up, but definitely not as much as what the house prices are going up today. So I feel like we are definitely doing the right thing. Because everyone's lives are different and I think it always works out in the end.
Real estate agent Ebony Astley empathises with the younger generation's struggle to enter the housing market. She understands their aspirations and the challenges they're facing in making home ownership a reality.
Young people are finding it hard to afford property, so they're investing more in travel and life experiences. I do see why people are choosing this lifestyle, because it is so unaffordable and hard and a long process to get into real estate. It's more achievable.
So it seems fair enough that people are choosing to travel. But one question you might be asking is, how are these young travellers affording to live this life for so long? Actually, the answer is quite simple.
Australia is screaming for workers everywhere, especially rural, and
it makes it a lot easier to get a job.
So this young couple discovered that success isn't just about owning a house. It's the unforgettable memories they create, the joy of waking up to pristine beaches and the thrill of chasing dreams without regrets.
I feel like I've won the lotto with the life we're living at the moment. Waking up on a beach to the best sunrise of your life and having the place to yourself is one of the best things.
The choice to travel instead of buying a house is transforming the way young Australians live and experience life. Whether it's embarking on a road trip like Carly and James or embracing a digital nomad lifestyle, this generation is redefining what it means to find success. Maybe it is time to embrace memories over mortgages.
All of a sudden, it was just red, orange sky, and in the silhouettes you could see whales jumping out and just breaching. You'd overlook that so much, going, all right, the sunset, let's go cook dinner.
What a great life those two are living, and one that definitely seems much more appealing than a mortgage.
The absolute best life, Skye.
Did you not travel around Australia last year?
I did, actually. I was on the road for 11 months with my partner.
And what was the worst part?
Oh, the worst part would definitely be the cold showers. I just know you couldn't do it.
You know me way too well then. Now, next up on today's show, Alana Williams explores the challenges, triumphs and innovative solutions relating to the prickly topic of mental health.
Our minds matter. We all individually matter. But especially in today's fast-paced world, it's crucial to acknowledge and address the significant impact of mental health issues on individuals and communities. We often underestimate the silent struggles that many people face, but it's time to break the silence and foster understanding and compassion. Gold Coast local Anna Fard sat down with me to share her experience.
I remember sitting on the couch and I felt really down and in the dumps. And I remember just literally watching a fly sit on me. And then I remember thinking then that I'm depressed. And I remember messaging a friend saying then I think I'm depressed. And she said, let's go to a counsellor. And then she opened up to me and she's like, I've been before and it helped.
Having the courage and being open to start these conversations with friends can make very impactful changes in everyone's lives. Professional psychologist on the Gold Coast, Dr. Stephanie Calangia-Mizzi, provides some insight on what traits we might notice in our friends that can trigger us to start these conversations.
People who are experiencing mental health issues may often socially withdraw, and that could be because they're feeling socially anxious. It could be because their mood is very low, and when mood is low, motivation is low. People become quite flat. People sleeping more, people eating less, people losing weight without trying, people gaining weight without trying. Just if you know your friend and you're noticing that there is something different, how can it hurt to say, hey, are you okay?
Seeking professional help through tougher times does not need to be scary, but ensuring you find the right practitioner also helps break down the barriers us humans put up.
I say to people that therapy is like onions, that we start with the outer presentation, or the outer skin, and that with time, hopefully, I can develop a rapport with them that allows them to trust me, that they can then tell me what is at the heart of what's happening for them.
Beyond Blue's research revealed that 75% of all mental health issues originate in individuals before the age of 25. Three teachers in Victoria also recognise this need among young people and decided to bridge this gap by establishing a not-for-profit advocacy foundation called Speak and Share. CEO and co-founder Mason shares their journey.
Yeah, the three of us came together. It's been 2 years now of Speak and Share, and we were actually up in the NT at the time, and there was a few things that happened to us personally up there, a bit of a journey that we went through. So Ben and myself lost one of our mates to suicide, and Nathan went through a battle of his parents separating during the time. And we said, look, there's probably an opportunity here where we want to do something for our community, and what can we do? Being school teachers, we'd love to run programs within schools and have an effect on school kids that way.
Although we may not be experts, does not mean the subject is out of our hands. We are all experiencing the adverse effects from social media, technology, the post-COVID effects, whilst also facing the rising cost of living. By joining forces, we can establish safe environments where everyone feels comfortable sharing. Ben and Mason from Speak and Share offer valuable insights on fostering vulnerability within our communities.
First one's like creating a comfortable environment for the person to open up. So if you notice that one of your mates is struggling, maybe go for a walk, go for a drive, make them feel comfortable. And then the other thing is probably just be honest with them. So like, Mason, I've noticed you've been struggling, like you're not your usual self. And then hopefully they're honest. And if you put them in a comfortable environment, hopefully they open up.
We have a brochure we provide that has like the four steps of ask, listen without judgment, nurture the growth, and then to check back in on that.
Dr. Stephanie Calandra-Mizzi advises prioritising environmental solutions as the best way to then further navigate life's challenges.
I would look to all of the natural things first. So when I'm working with a person, I always say, how is your physical health? Because if your physical health is off, your mental health is going to be. So do all the natural things first. Get out in the sun, do a bit of exercise, eat well, sleep well. You know, easy stuff first, and then we tackle the hard.
If you or anyone is struggling, please don't hesitate to reach out to friends and family or services like Lifeline, Beyond Blue or Headspace. Together we can shatter the stigma surrounding mental health and create a more caring society.
I think it's definitely a good idea to reach out, and I definitely think it's something that should be spoken about more.
Mental health doesn't have to be this big scary thing that we don't want to talk about at times, and I think that some people still do think that it is worth to speak, but we have a slogan at Speak and Share that a problem shared is a problem halved, and we do truly believe in that.
Those last voices we heard there was Gold Coast local Anna Fard, plus Speak and Share's co-founder Mason, wrapping up Alana Williams' story.
Doesn't that really just shed a light on practical ways to recognise and even start conversations on issues relating to mental health?
100%, and it's just such an important topic. And like Mason said, a problem shared is a problem halved.
Now onto our next story. In this rapidly changing world, traditional norms are being challenged as more young adults choose not to have children. With cost of living, climate change and career goals influencing this decision, young adults are redefining their priorities and opting for childless lifestyles. Eve Booker has more.
For generations, people have embraced parenthood. However, more young adults are choosing not to have children. The Australian Bureau of Statistics suggests from 2023 to 2029, the number of couples living without children will overtake the number of couples who have children. I spoke to some young adults to hear their views.
No, I've never considered having children, and I don't think it's something I will consider. Everything's just too expensive at the moment, and I can barely afford to look after myself, let alone another human being.
With the current things that are going on with the environment and climate change, if I don't feel the need to bring a child into the world when it's like that, personally.
On average, children are costing $12,800 a year, while adding 9,400 tonnes of carbon dioxide to the carbon footprint of each parent. With wallets getting smaller and the earth warmer, young adults can't ignore the financial and environmental cost of raising children. 24-year-old middle school teacher Grace Lacey shares her views.
There's a few factors. Number one, the economy. I believe that people, you know, see it as a financial burden to have children. Things like global warming and the climate crisis, that people's perceptions and understanding of the impact that children and having a family can have on the climate crisis, the upbringing of a child and the extra waste that they bring into the world and the extra energy that it takes to have them is something that people are really considering and making a move not to have children because of that.
The percentage of new mothers aged 30 and over has risen from 15% in 1981 to 49% in 2017, showing women are starting families later in life.
Now it's almost impossible to live off a one person income, so it's expected that women go to work and yeah, they don't have that option. So it's not till much later in life that people are deciding to have children because they haven't really even had a chance to be in the workforce yet and really establish themselves in their careers. So they're making the choice to put their career first earlier and have kids later.
The pressure to start a family after marriage is still a social norm. 45-year-old Matthew Heimer shares his experience.
I just have never really felt that I had a desire to have children. I think that if I'd had children, I could have ended up resenting it. I would rather know that this is not something I want to do than try and raise a child just to be conforming to what society thinks I should do once I get to a certain age. Once marriage legislation passed and once Josh and I got married, we got asked a lot more, are we going to have children or when are we going to have children? People see it as the next step you take.
Modern society gives young adults opportunities for fulfillment beyond parenthood.
We just have a lot more options now than our parents did. We have access to so much more, the ability to travel, the ability to experience a lot more. Your family doesn't necessarily have to be the achievement in your life. We have so many more options to get fulfillment in our life.
That was journalist Eve Booker with Matthew Hindmarsh. It'll be interesting to see how many young adults have children in the future.
Well, between TikTok, Instagram and YouTube, the mind-numbing content is inescapable. But do we really notice how draining it is? A recent study uncovers the impacts of excessive YouTube use on our mental health, and the results are nothing short of frightening. Heidi Benford has the story.
An investigation was led by researchers Dr. Luke Balcombe and Professor Diego De Leo from the Australian Institute for Suicide Research and Prevention. Lead author Dr. Balcombe says they found a link between frequent YouTube use and poor mental health, especially in users under 29 years old who watch content about others' lives.
Well, with the study that I did with YouTube in particular, I found that platform did exacerbate loneliness, anxiety and depression through high frequency use, and many of the users are unaware of the impact of parasocial relationships with YouTubers.
Disturbingly, they found YouTube's algorithm pushed suicide-related content to users based on previous searches.
Younger people are especially at risk of exposure to these unvetted suicide-related topics, and they need improved education and information about the potential of these rabbit holes.
In the case of YouTube, the measures in place to counter this are not enough.
They do have self-harm and suicide content warnings. That may come up as a prompt, do you want to continue, yes or no? So users do have an opportunity to cancel. However, some people may find themselves attracted to find out what's in there. For some vulnerable users, there may not be much regulation within computer networks, so there may be a need for intervention beyond. That's what I would like to see, going beyond asking yes or no, I'd like to see there being some linkage through to vetted resources and treatment.
Social media tends to be used as an escape from daily life. This study prompts us to look at how much our screen time is really affecting us. Griffith University students share their complicated relationships with social media and their minds. Statistics show an increase in screen time since before the pandemic. Many students reflect this.
Upwards of like 4 to 5 hours.
Around 3 hours.
Maybe 4 hours a day.
When I'm in a more bad part of my mental health, I definitely am on my screen more.
You just can't stop. Honestly, it makes me feel tired. It makes me feel disconnected.
I notice whenever I'm off social media for a long time, I am happier.
It really increases that feeling of anxiety almost, where you're kind of like, oh God, am I doing enough?
And I get quite overwhelmed, and also like self-confidence lowers.
But it can take up so much of your time, so much comparing on that. Like you see all these pretty girls and then you're like, oh, am I like not in that category? Or like jealousy? It goes in a whole whirlwind of all this stuff. it can take over your life for sure.
The prevalence of mental health issues coincides with screen addictions in adolescence. But what came first?
I think it's a bit of a doom cycle. I think one affects the other. And then once you get into that doom scroll, it's just a hopeless cycle that's really difficult to break out of.
YouTube is a platform for me to not think about things going on in my life.
Because it's my way of isolating from the world and I don't have to interact.
Dr. Balcom explains these online relationships can fill a void for people, but this can lead to them disengaging socially, locking them in a cycle of issues.
There's also an opportunity cost whereby they're missing out on face-to-face interactions.
So how can we break free? Social media feeds, ironically, have been flooded by the idea of a digital detox.
I used to watch a bunch of YouTube videos on how to do it and how it would help my mental health because it did get so bad.
The truth remains, it's not really possible in 2023, but have many students still tried?
Yes, I have many times.
I have thought about it, yes.
I consider it almost every day.
I have, but I don't think it would work for me.
I feel like I can't really escape it because the world is so digitalized. So I feel like I need to have it even if I don't want to have it and even if I know that it's affecting me.
Taking a step back and having these conversations can help us regain control, Dr. Balcom advises.
Taking some time out while setting a limit is important because some of it can be very addictive and there are multi-uses. However, at what point is self-management necessary?
That was Heidi Benford talking to Australian Institute for Social Research and Prevention researcher Dr. Luke Balcom.
With National Relaxation Day around the corner, it's never been more important time to talk about students' well-being. Skye Pritchard has more.
Picture yourself surrounded by the soft whispers of gentle waves and the warm embrace of the sun. World Relaxation Day is an opportunity for us all to take a step back from our hectic routines and find mindfulness in the present moment. I spoke to Griffith University students on different ways they find time to practice relaxation during their studies.
Well, gym is really important to me, so I make sure I find time every day to go to the gym. It really helps me clear my head and be able to focus when I study. So I always make sure I find time to, go on a walk or go to the gym, just something every day.
I'm studying a double degree at the moment. That obviously takes up most of my time, but I do like to push myself to at least go to 2 or 3 yoga classes a week. When it's uni holidays, I take full advantage of that, and that's when I can really unwind.
I don't normally prioritize mindfulness or self-care when I'm studying. I get so into my study that I forget to take time for myself, but if I were to, I would probably put on a movie after a long day of studying.
Well, I usually, if I feel really stressed from the workload at uni, I will just set a little timer for about 20 minutes and then I will take another 20 minutes to just unload, go for a walk, put a podcast in.
As we navigate the busy waters of life, it's essential to find moments of peace. A new study by Monash University of New South Wales suggests that mindfulness education can reduce the negative effects of stress and increase students' ability to stay engaged. I spoke to Monash University's Dr. Kong No about the importance of practicing mindfulness for students while studying.
Mindfulness is something really relevant to me. I've been practicing mindfulness since 2013, which is like 10 years now. It's increasingly important, especially during my PhD years, which was like, I started my PhD in 2019, but I already graduated a couple of months ago. So there were like during the pandemic, and there were a lot of changes in, disruptions to your study. For example, my data collections didn't go as planned. A lot of what we are, the way we think, the way we respond to, let's call it stimulus or stimuli outside us. Normally we do it subconsciously and automatically. So students always have some sort of stress, whether it's study stress, exam stress, or PE pressure, whatever it is, and some even have family side of thing. The stress is extremely relevant and anxiety and worries and depressions and all this kind of thing. So mindfulness is about having the right attention.
That was Dr. Kong with Sky Pritchard.
That's it for the first episode of the season. We just want to thank everyone for tuning in on The Source News. I'm Sky.
And I'm Nadia, and we're signing off as your host for this evening. We hope you all enjoyed our show, and don't forget to tune in next week for more student journalists from Griffith University Source News.